up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording on a Wednesday night this week. It's October 9th, and this is episode number 237. We have yet another Texas Tech victory to discuss this week as the Red Raiders take down the Arizona Wildcats in Tucson in a late night, early morning, or on Saturday. So we have that game to talk about, and then it's a bye week. The Red Raiders are off this week, so we're just going to kind of look ahead at the opponents that are left on the schedule, kind of go through, not deep dive like we normally do, just kind of some, hey, here's who they played, wins and losses, kind of notable things we think about each team real quick, go through that, and give our, you know, second half record predictions for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. So lots to get into this week. Always fun to hop on the mics and discuss another Texas Tech win. And before we do that, gotta mention, gotta follow us. Follow us on Apple, follow us on Spotify. Give us those five stars for the tailgate. And if you follow us on Apple, you can always leave us a review there. Also, follow us on social media. Follow us on Twitter at @tailgate_talks. That's where we do most of our posting and interacting, but we do have Facebook, Instagram, and a YouTube channel if you want to follow those. And lastly, if you have any questions, comments, anything for the tailgate, you can always shoot us an email at tailgatetalkspod@gmail.com. So with all that said, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go!
Well, it was a late night on Saturday night and a early morning on Sunday. The Red Raiders, the first half ended before midnight. The second half kicked off into midnight. It was a chaotic game. First half, everything was going well. Texas Tech up 18-3 at halftime. Everybody in good spirits, feeling like Texas Tech's going to get this win. Second half was a complete different story. The offense didn't come out of the locker room until the end of the fourth quarter, allowing Arizona to get back, claw themselves back into this game. And really a game-changing play from this was when Arizona threw a ball out of bounds. A wide receiver ran into one of our male cheerleaders over on the sideline, and the cheerleader took it like a champ. He got back up, celebrated, and after that, everything turned for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Arizona misses a kick. Tech goes down, kicks a field goal to go ahead. Jacob Rodriguez forces a fumble. Red Raiders recover. Taj Brooks seals the deal with a touchdown run, and the Red Raiders beat the Arizona Wildcats 28-22 to move to 3-0 in Big 12 play and 5-1 overall. Dustin, your thoughts on the pretty crazy late night game for the Red Raiders over win over the Arizona Wildcats.
Yeah, always good to win. Another roller coaster, but I'll steal the line from our basketball team. That was a toughest team won type of game.
Like, yeah.
It was physical. Like, our defense came out hitting, causing turnovers. Like, it was a great, great game. Yeah, we slipped up in the third quite a bit, but overall, really good game. I went back and rewatched it Monday afternoon. First thing I wrote down was the Arizona coach looks stupid with his giant lei that he wears.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. Is he from
Hawaii?
I
said it a lot during the game, but I just remember how stupid he looked being a white dude that's wearing this lei at Arizona, whatever.
Yeah, I wonder if there was – does he do that every game, or was that
probably
just – I was a little confused by that. They didn't. I don't know if they explained it on the telecast or if they did.
Yeah,
I
you got
– zoned out.
That in that first quarter, some of my notes, you got Micah Hudson involved.
Yeah.
He was out on the field a little bit more. He got a good play action. We literally ran the same play back-to-back on Arizona. We handed it off first time, and then the second time we ran it again, and boom. And a Baron – puts that ball on him. That's a walk-in touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great play. Bad pass, you know, by Barron, or else Micah gets his first touchdown.
Yeah, we still put him in and scored.
Yeah.
But defense came out playing amazing. I mean, getting stops. You were forcing pressure. You had some nice linebacker stunts that you were running with Ben and J-Rod. I mean, J-Rod had a huge sack in that first drive for us. But yeah, your defense was amazing with just, we'll give up some yards, but we're not going to let you score, especially T-Mac. I mean, hey, you're good enough. Like, you're literally the size of Mike Evans they put on the screen, and you could see it, and he's that good. But hey, we're just not going to let you get in the end zone. We're going to force you to try to matriculate down the field, and Fifita would crumble eventually a lot of times. And so the pressure was amazing. So offense, we can talk about it a little bit more in a minute. But I thought that was a great toughest team wins type deal. And your offense responded at the end to win it.
Yeah, that's my thoughts too. I hadn't thought of the toughest team wins thing until you said it. But yeah, it really kind of was that game. In a nutshell, it was a game that kind of oddly felt confident that we were going to somehow pull it off at the end there. Just because, like, you felt like you were in control for the entirety of the game. Like, even though Arizona came back, like, you were the one that was kind of dictating the whole game. Your defense was, even when they were coming back on you, they were still having to get field goals. They finally got a touchdown, but like, they were just really struggling. You never really had confidence that their offense was actually going to go score a touchdown. They would maybe get into field goal range, and they have one of the greatest college football kickers I've seen play against Tech. He was made 5 field goals. He did luckily miss one, the important one at the end. But yeah, I think some of the encouraging things to see that we haven't really seen all season was we just saw time and time again our linebackers, our D linemen just hit their quarterback over and over and over again. It's something that you're not used to seeing from a Tech team. Is like, Fifita was getting knocked to the ground constantly. Like,
he had to be hurting.
Oh yeah, he had to be sore. And that's just not something we're really used to. And so that was just awesome to watch, because he had dudes in his face all night long. Whether it was Jacob Rodriguez, Ben Roberts, there was a couple. Mike Dingle had some good pressures. Some other D linemen got some good pressures. You could just tell he was super uncomfortable all night long. And I can't remember the last time like you did that to a quarterback. And it was just really impressive to watch. Offense, you know, yeah, let's go ahead and get into that side of the ball.
Sure.
I honestly didn't think it was too terrible of a Kittley game.
Yeah.
I thought he called a good game. I thought there was some, you know, obviously Taj Brooks fumbling 2 times were drive killers. And that's something you can't predict. And that's not something that goes on Kittley there. He's given the ball to Taj like we want him to. You know, I thought the offense, it started off slow, obviously, but I thought they were really able to move the ball quite well in the first half. I thought one of the most impressive drives I've seen from Kittley was that 3 points at the end of the half that, you know, you get the CJ Baskerville interception in the end zone. There's only like 30 seconds left. You start off with a penalty. You look like you're just going to, like, even the announcer's like, just take it to halftime here. And instead, you take a deep shot to Caleb Douglas that goes for, like, 50-something yards. Then you hit him again on another out, and all of a sudden, your easy chip shot field goal. You get 3 extra points, turn it into a 15-point game. I thought that was one hell of a Kittley drive. Like, that's something I was pretty shocked to see, honestly.
You saw a lot more in that first half, aggressive and shots down the field. When we talk about the Micah Hudson play, that was a good 30, 40-yard bomb there. Caleb Douglas had a couple of them in this game, some deep shots. And so, like, I think that was in the game plan from what Joey's talked about, like, with our slow starts and away games. Like, we need to come out and be more aggressive. Let's take some shots. And that's what we got Caleb Douglas for, and we used him right. I thought the first half was pretty dang good. I mean, you were – besides your first drive, you went 3-and-out with a couple goofy plays. Like, you were really solid from there. Let's talk the second half real quick, though. I just did the math. You had about 10 minutes of time of possession in the second half.
Not
and a lot of those were around a minute. Yeah. So You had 7 real drives. The eighth one was the one to kneel it out in the game, and that took up a minute. So you had around 9 minutes of time and possession before that kneel out drive.
Yeah,
your third quarter, you had 2. Start of the fourth, Taj fumbled twice. He doesn't do that. And for you to be able to power through, still only give up field goals, like,
yeah,
the defense is like, all right, fine. I mean, you had 27 yards in 11 plays off of 4 drives, 2 punts and 2 fumbles in that third quarter, very start of the fourth.
Yeah, so it goes 3 plays.
That's hard on Kittley also, is because he can't get in a rhythm and has to try to restart every drive and force it. And it's not like Taj is hanging the ball out there. There was a couple good hits and perfect, you know, hand or helmet placement. It happens. So, and yeah, it took until, I think after that next Taj drive, it took until under the 5 minute mark for us to get a positive drive going.
Yeah.
When I was watching this, I was like, dang, it's 5 minutes, and we were just now getting a couple first downs going.
You didn't get a first down until that drive where you scored the field goal that put you up.
Right.
And that was late fourth quarter. You know,
yeah, you got the ball with 4:52 to start that.
And that was in your the fourth first
and drained 2.5 minutes. That was your best drive of the game, or the second half.
Yeah. And guess what? It featured a shot downfield to Caleb Douglas. Like, you were getting aggressive. I thought in the second half, we got like too conservative. We're like trying to not make mistakes, and we're trying to not let them back in the game. And I think, like, ultimately, when you play like that, you're so caught up in, hey, let's not make mistakes here, that you end up making mistakes. I thought, you know, there's a conversation I saw Gambling Gauchos kind of tweeted out. I guess people don't understand what killer instinct means, and because there was a discussion about the lack of killer instinct in this team, and I think you saw that clearly in this game. You get the ball after stopping them on the first drive of the second half. You're up 18-3. You're around midfield when you get the ball. You have it at the TTU 46.
Yeah.
You're able to get it to the Arizona 48 on the first play, and then you stall from there and you have to punt it away. 3 and out, and great field position. A chance to go get even a field goal there at least makes it a 3-possession game at that point. And you're taking the crowd completely out of it at the start of the half. Instead, you punt there, you have the fumble, you go 3 and out again, and then just like that, Arizona's back in the lead in this game. And you know, whether it's conservative or whatever, I just didn't see the aggressive calls that you were kind of doing in the first half. I didn't see any instinct that makes you think, hey, we're going to go put this team out, get this game over with now. Instead, you let these teams hang in there. And that's why you've been in all these one possession games. And sure, like 28-22 looks like a one possession game, but, you know, they had to score a field goal and recover an onside kick, and they did not. So, like, some of these scores are a little bit deceiving. Arizona State game as well, but still, you had multiple opportunities.
I get that,
and you just haven't been able to do it at all.
Or although I did like the mixing in of Caleb Douglas and the downfield shots, because we haven't seen that yet this year, and so just adding another layer to this offense. I mean, it's already it's top 20 in the country. As it is, so
top scoring in the Big 12.
Keep adding layers to this, and it just gets harder and harder to defend us.
Yeah, and I think the main thing we've been discussing about Kittley is the consistency and the ability to carry it over in the second half. I think consistently in these games this season, the first half has been considerably your better half of offensive football.
No doubt.
And then you get to the second half, and it becomes a struggle to move the ball. So I don't know whether that's his inability to make adjustments, or just not knowing what the defense is going to come out to do to you in the second half. Like, I don't know what it is, but man, you look at all these second halves from the start of the season, ACU to Arizona State, where you couldn't score in the second half, and to Cincinnati, where you scored once, you got, you know, some field goals, and just a lot of these things are kind of creeping up. It's second half,
and I think
to be good the rest of the season, you got to figure out how to be more consistent on the offensive side of the ball. once after halftime. Yeah, have you anything to add to that? Or defense. Let's talk about the defense, because that was the side of the ball that I thought shined brightly in this game. Sure, they gave up some yards, gave up 301 yards passing, 121 yards rushing. But I thought they played an incredible game from the start. You know, you go three and out on the first drive, punt to them, and everybody's kind of like, uh-oh, here we go. Defense immediately forces a punt right back. Defense came out the gates. You could clearly see that they were on a mission tonight. What were your thoughts on the Texas Tech defense and Tim DeRuiter's squad and their performance this Saturday?
Man, was I impressed with that. You know, last week I was very concerned about our defense and some of our health issues. But, you know, Braylon Lux was out there. That helps a ton.
Yeah, it's crazy what a difference he makes. Just, you don't think of one player being that big of a difference, but you can.
And, like, he wasn't out there for the full game. We still had our some rotations going because of injuries.
Yeah, you had Macho out there.
But luckily, like, now you have just more depth there to rotate guys in, and Macho comes in off the bench to help fill in instead of, you know, your third or fourth guy. But the force pressure, the stunts up front with the linebackers and stuff, yeah, Fifita was getting hit and hit hard a lot Saturday night. And, yeah, T-Mac got his yards, and he went for, like, 150. But
yeah,
some of them were just, like, two or three big plays that he literally just turned on a dime and just ran for 20 more yards. Like, that's just being a hell of an athlete, to be honest.
Yeah, he had a couple catch and runs that were just like, damn.
Like, what? How did he do that so fast? You're supposed to be this big dude.
He's got the sticks.
Yeah, I was impressed with our kind of over-the-top coverage of him once we got to the end zone. CJ's interception was unreal. I literally just didn't think it happened. Like, no way he caught that. And sure enough, did. And, yeah, Jacob with a punch out at the end, just never giving up on a play. Like, incredible game from him. Like, they just did a great job of bending and never breaking, force field goals, keep your team always in it. Like, I don't care about the yards. I think this is our team back two years ago when
kind of been the Tim DeRuiter defense, like, same
DeRuiter guy here. It's like, bend but no break. Make them kick field goals. We'll give up 450 or whatever, but 3 points is nothing.
Yeah. Or, you know, one of the other great things, we're great in short yardage situations, and we, like, really do a good job on when they have third and one and they try to go for it, stuff it.
Yeah, we did a couple of those.
And you stuffed them on a fourth down attempt, too. And so I think, like, you know, that's, you know, in this analytic age where a lot of teams are trying to go for it instead of take field goals, like, that's where his defense has been pretty successful in causing turnovers. Like, that was an early momentum swing. I think they had a drive early in the game that you stuff them on a fourth down. And so it's plays like that. Like, this is one, this stat I love right here. They were 3 of 14 on third down.
God, that's good for us.
Like, that's amazing for your defense. You're getting the third downs and you're getting them to punt, or you're getting them to have to kick field goals. Like, okay, sure, you were letting them get some yards on first and second down. But, I mean, when it got the third down, you were tightening up the defense. You were making it hard for Fifita to fit some passes in there.
Yeah.
And you were just really clamping them down, and especially when they got, you know, on their side, on our side of the field where they're starting to get in scoring range. Like, the coverage on McMillan in the end zone and everything like that was great. Baskerville was always just kind of shadowing him. You didn't let him beat you in the biggest parts of the game. And so I thought it was a really impressive job. The turnovers is take three game. Ooh, on the road.
Take three game. Oh, yeah.
We had a thick six with Quincy Ledet getting the deflected pass. That was awesome. My favorite part was a hurdle. What'd you think about? He was moving pretty good too. It was pretty impressive. What'd you think about that play from the big?
Yeah, him and that Saints D lineman should be on SportsCenter for those two plays. I mean, he got that ball and he was looking to make a play. That's for sure.
He's like, I see nothing but green in front of me.
Honestly, a really good catch, too, because it got deflected right in front of him. So he could have dropped it easily.
Like, yeah, because the second deflection is like a player batted it and it went right to him. And that's not a play. Juju Smith-Schuster would have dropped that. And And so, yeah, good hands by the big guy and moved pretty well, had a hurdle, good highlight from him. And, you know, that was Jacob Rodriguez, a guy that we kind of got to stop to talk about here. Just was like the overall highest rated defensive player, I think, from a PFF standpoint.
Yeah, not Big 12, though.
Not Big 12 player of the week. Good, but good for player of the – was it the, just the all players of the week or defensive player of the week?
Defensive player of the week, yeah.
So that's like a college football 25 thing there where you can win like the Heisman but not be an All-American or something like that.
That's, I've done that.
Pretty bizarre, but 13 total tackles for Jacob Rodriguez. Yeah. 5 solo tackles, 1 sack, tackle for loss, pass deflection that led to an interception, and the biggest play of the game, the forced fumble. Let's just talk about that play real quick. You know, looks like T-Mac's going to have a really big reception, and Jacob Rodriguez comes in with the punch perfectly, and it goes right to Brennan Jordan for the fumble, and that pretty much from right there was game.
Yeah, that's just like never giving up on the play because he was – kind of getting blocked at the line or, you know, close to the line of scrimmage. And that plays over 10 yards down the field. And he just, you know, tracks it down, punches it out from behind. And that's ball game from there. Like, that's just never giving up, wanting to make a play and your best player beat their best player.
Yeah, I just it's just impressive. A huge part of the game too, right? You're only up by 2 there, like, and so hey, they've had their field goal kicker make 5 field goals in the game. You know, all they got to do is get into field goal range, and they got a chance to beat you. And you know, first play, he pops that ball out, and just a perfect Red Raider bounce right into Brandon Jordan's hands. But yeah, just hell of a game from Jacob Rodriguez. It was just really fun to watch him just kind of in the zone in this game. And
yeah, in the zone.
And if he continues to play like this, you obviously have a really good chance of winning lots of games, having him do that. And of course, you know, the stat that was kind of surprising to me, Mo Horn, 10 tackles. Like,
Horn played awesome.
I thought he was,
he's really been playing awesome.
And Devin Cromwell, the guy from Canada, came in, and I thought
he filled in really good because we didn't have our safety,
Chapman Lewis.
Yep,
I thought he did a pretty good job back there. Like, you didn't look like you had any weak links in this game. You know, there wasn't anybody just getting exposed over and over. I thought everybody held their ground pretty well, played great defensively, and gave us a take 3.
I think this is a good recipe for what you're going to see from us going forward because you saw us kind of. We gave a little bit in the run game. You could see it, but we were more concerned with the pass game and more concerned with creating a pass rush and then filling in the run defense from there, you know, and it worked out great. And, you know, we're going to have a lot more teams and quarterback receiver combos like this on our schedule coming forward. So I think you'll see this, defense a lot more this year.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think what they do a good job of is limiting the big play potential. You know, you didn't have busted plays. You had a few big ones from, but you always had guys there to make the play. And that's kind of one of the big things. You don't want to give up those like 60, 70 yard touchdowns like that one you gave up to Cincy. You got to keep guys in front. And, you know, they did a really good job in this game in doing that. So let's go through the offensive stats for the game. Barron, 17 for 29, 214 yards, no turnovers for him. What'd you think of Barron's play in this game? I thought he was all right in points. I thought there was a couple points where he looked a little bit lost, kind of especially in the second half.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it was okay. First half looked really good. In second half, maybe it's because of the fumbles and no one could get going and consistent and the flow. Maybe that's what held them up. But yeah, it was okay. No turnovers is great though. I mean, that's what he's been best at this year, to be honest.
Yeah, that, you know, that I'll appreciate that performance. I definitely thought he was off on a couple throws, but then he would make some really good throws as well. So it was just kind of an up and down game for him. I definitely thought in the second half, maybe it was the kind of pressure mounting of, oh, we can't blow this lead, and maybe kind of forcing some throws. I thought he had, you know, Josh Kelly on one that he just completely overthrows him. So there was some tough throws in there, but ultimately when you needed him to make a couple plays, he was able to do that, get you the win. Taj Brooks, 21 carries, 128 yards, 3 touchdowns. The one odd stat from Taj this game, the 2 fumbles that we mentioned earlier. You're not used to seeing Taj Brooks fumble ever, and he happened to do it like 2 times in like the span of 3 drives, which was pretty shocking, but not something that you expect from him. But still, overall, 128 yards on the day, kind of carried your offense, and then had the touchdown to seal the deal. So got his redemption. Caleb Douglas, your leading receiver on the day. I had this prediction just a week too soon. Caleb Douglas, I think you had one on the special teams too that was just a week too soon. Leading receiver for the day, 5 catches, 116 yards. Huge for you in 2 big drives that got you field goals, the one in the half, the field goal to go up ahead of Arizona in the 4th quarter. Michael Hudson sighting. He had, like we mentioned, his 1 catch, 38 yards, set up the first touchdown of the game. Really nice catch by him because, like we said, Barron, not the most perfect pass. He had to go up in the air, catch that, hold on to it. I thought it was a really good play for Micah in that situation. Defensive stats, we mentioned a take 3 for the Red Raiders. Quincy Ledet Jr. with the interception thanks to Jacob Rodriguez deflection. CJ Baskerville interception that set up the field goal at the end of half. And Jacob Rodriguez with the punch out. Brandon Jordan with the fumble recovery to lead to the Taj Brooks touchdown to seal the game. So that is our defensive stats. Our prediction recap. So we were a little off on this one. We had Arizona winning this game. I think a lot of people thought that. Different Texas Tech team showed up than we were expecting. Got the job done. So shout out to those guys. But I had a 41-34 Arizona victory. Dustin had a 37-31 Arizona victory. So our first half schedule predictions, I go 5-1, my loss being the Arizona game. Dustin goes 4-2. On the spread, this was a close one. I had Arizona -6.5, so I lose this bet. Dustin has Texas Tech +6.5, so he did cover. We are both 500 on our covering so far this season, 3-3 apiece. We both had the over in this one. This is probably the area where we're struggling. Every time we say it's over, it goes under. Every time we think it's under, it goes over. We're 2-4. We had the over in this one. The under hit. Our offensive predictions, I had Taj 30 carries, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. Not quite, but you know, close. 21 carries, 128 yards, 3 touchdowns. Dustin had Josh Kelly out receiving T-Mac. That did not happen. Josh Kelly had not that many yards in this game. He was covered up pretty well. 5 catches for 27 yards. T-Mac had 161 yards.
No doubt.
That goes into our defensive prediction where we had us holding T-Mac to under 120 yards. We did not do that. But, you know, ultimately, I thought you did a pretty good job on him. You didn't let him, break off the 70-yard touchdowns. So we'll call that a victory. Red Raiders get the victory, and that means we get to open up Club Red for the 3rd time in the Big 12, 5th time overall. So let's open up the club.
Somebody turn on some damn music!
All right, Dustin, the club is officially open. 3-0 in Big 12 play. It's been a fun start to the conference season. So on the offensive side of the ball, who is getting your Club Red VIP? Obviously, it goes without saying, Taj Brooks gets in always. Despite 2 fumbles, well, he still gets in. But who are you going to shout out this week?
I think the only other easy answer here is Caleb Douglas.
Yeah.
No one else jumps off the stat sheet. Caleb had a huge game, his first one as a Red Raider, 5 for 116. Big 57-yarder in there as well. So glad to see him have a breakout game.
Yeah, he was my selection as well. But I am going to go ahead and give a nod out to Micah Hudson here and let him in. Big play. Everybody's been wanting to see him. Comes out, play designed for him. Big spot. Sets up the first score of the game. Good catch. And like you said, nobody else really notable here. He was 2nd on the team after that 1 catch and receiving in this game. And so I thought it was a big moment for him. And so we'll go ahead and let him in. But like we said, not a lot on the offensive side of the ball. Caleb Douglas was really your was really good for you. And so welcome to Club Red, Caleb Douglas and Micah Hudson. Defensive side of the ball, Dustin, which way are you going? A lot of options here.
I'll let you have, I think, the easy one. I'm going to go with the big man, Quincy Ledet, with the tip interception and the 20-yard return. We should have just put him in the offensive side.
Yeah. Hurdle of the year. Yeah, seriously, give him the fullback. Let him
swear number five.
Yeah. Yeah, he's already he built for that, man. He looked like a running back carrying the ball. Yeah, I mean, there's several selections. I'm going to go, you know, I think kind of like that North Texas game. I think everybody who is involved in getting the turnovers gets in this week.
So,
Quincy Ledet,
CJ
Baskerville, and then Jacob Rodriguez and Brendan Jordan. Jacob Rodriguez for the punch out, Brendan Jordan for recovering that fumble. All the guys get in, but, you know, I'm down with letting like the whole defense in for that performance that they did, because it was one hell of a performance these guys, and really the defense won you this game. So shout out to all the guys on defense, and you know we got to give the special teams guys some love. So I'm gonna let Gino and our special teams in here, because Gino was automatic in this game and made his field goals when presented. I thought our punter did a great job in this game. Yep. Like special teams was just
punt a lot more to this game than usual.
Yeah. And I thought he was pretty consistent, no shanks in this game. So, you know, we're going to let the special teams use him for there.
We had a 2-point conversion on the swinging gate.
Oh, yeah.
John Carlos Miller.
I forgot about that. I forgot about that because, like, the TV was still showing the highlight of the touchdown play, and that's when the swinging gate happened. So they're not even, like, really get a good replay of it. But
we ran it against North Texas, and then it was there. We had – I think 5 linemen and a guy, and they had 4 dudes out there. So we just sling it out there and run a sweep to get in. Easy in.
Easy. Yeah. So money play from them right there. That puts you up 15-3 at the time. So shout out to all the guys. Good performance in Tucson. Thankful for another win. It's been a fun, you know, after the Washington State game, did not see us being 5-1 at this point.
No.
But we are. And so now that's time to transition over into the second half of the season as the Texas Tech Red Raiders get ready for a much-needed bye week. I love having the bye week here right in the middle. Get ready Perfect. For the final 6 games of the season. You got out of Tucson clean. No major injuries to add to the report right now.
Yeah,
but
that's
let's
great.
Go. Yeah, that's fantastic. Not only to get the win, and then hopefully Chapman Lewis is getting healthy and you get him back and just make that defense better for the second half of the season. But what we're going to do here right quick is we're going to go through each of the 6 remaining opponents. We're just going to kind of briefly talk about them. We're not going to deep dive them like we do in our off-season stuff. We're just kind of mention them.
Yeah.
Then kind of our expectations for the Red Raiders in the second half. Do we have a shot at making the Big 12 championship, and our Texas Tech final record predictions? And so we're going to start off. I'm going to take lead on this. We're going to rotate between each
Let's
team. First up, after the bye, a homecoming game for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. It's red out, so, you know, wear red. Next Saturday when the Baylor Bears come to town, and it has not been a great season so far for the Baylor Bears. They're currently 2-4 on the season and 0-3 in Big 12 conference play. That gets a good laugh from Dustin. That gets a good laugh from a lot of Red Raiders, all of Red Raider Nation, basically. Aranda on the hot seat is hot. His seat has probably never been hotter. Only wins on the season against Tarleton and Air Force, so nothing too notable about their wins. Losses, though, they've lost to Utah, Colorado, BYU, and Iowa State.
Yep.
Now, I think the Utah game did not count as a conference game.
It was already scheduled, so they let them keep it as a non-con game.
Yeah, there's been a couple of that. Same with like Kent State and Arizona. That one didn't count for the conference, so... but yeah, conference losses, overtime one to Colorado, which everybody saw the Hail Mary attempt that got Colorado into overtime, a game that Baylor definitely should have won. They played pretty good against BYU, who right now is, maybe the top dog in the Big 12. They've definitely looked a lot better. They play that one close. They hung in against Iowa State for a little bit, but Iowa State ended up being too much for them. Currently, ESPN gives Texas Tech a 67.8% chance of beating Baylor. Dustin, your thoughts on the Baylor Bears so far this season?
Yeah, while I was going through this, I wrote down a lot of stuff. Teams, a player or two for each of them, except for Baylor, because nothing stands out for them.
Yeah,
going into this year, so I have an easy dub for this one next weekend.
Yeah, only player Sawyer Robertson, the Lubbock, Texas native, the quarterback for the Baylor Bears. So that's a name.
He's not having a great season though.
Yeah, you really look at their stats, and he's passed for 1,000 yards. Their leading rusher only has 186 yards. Yeah. Their leading receiver only has 277 yards.
I'm not writing any of this down.
Yeah. Offense kind of feels like us last year. It's like where you didn't just have any crazy stats. So
no.
So yeah, that's the Baylor Bears for you. A good opportunity to start the season 6-1 when the Baylor Bears come to town for the home game after the bye. I think they're on a bye week right now too. So both teams will come in rested, but obviously a team that you see much better than. And then that leads us to our next game against TCU in Fort Worth.
Yeah, at TCU. If you have ticket codes to help Red Raider fans get in, just put those on Twitter. The TCU athletic director loves that.
I've also seen TCU fans being like, we should just sell our tickets to Texas Tech fans to make us a message that they're done with Sonny Dykes over there.
Sure, yeah, do that. Yeah. They're 3-3, 1-2 in conference. This is listed as a toss-up, 50-50 game on ESPN. But
that doesn't make sense to me.
TCU has probably – they're getting a home field game.
Yeah.
That swings a couple points. That's about it. But they've lost to Houston last week, which is horrendous. Houston got shut out by Cincinnati the week before that.
And they were shut out the week before that, too. They had gone two straight games without scoring a point.
They got blown out by SMU. I think that game was like 70-50.
66-42.
Yep. And then UCF also. So, like, man, they're going through it. But they have some players. I'll say that. They have a really good quarterback-receiver combo. Josh Hoover's leading the Big 12 in passing yards with over 2,000 already. For reference, Barron has just over 1,600.
Yeah.
They have a receiver with over 707 touchdowns, Jack Beck. But their problem is they're minus 10 in turnover ratio with 14 of their own, 6 picks and 8 fumbles. So if they clean some stuff up, maybe they're back to being decent and good. But right now, that's their major problem right there.
Yeah, this one at the beginning of the season, wasn't sure, kind of felt like a toss-up. I just feel like you're such a better team than TCU right now. I really think if you want to be the team that's competing for a chance to go to the Big 12 championship, this is a game that you got to go in there and win. Not one of those games that you can slip up on a lesser opponent. But they'll get up for Texas Tech in the rivalry, so you never know what to expect in those games. Next up is another tough road test, and this time it's the Iowa State Cyclones. Iowa State so far on the season undefeated, 5-0 on the year, 2-0 in Big 12 conference play. Notable wins, of course, they beat Iowa in a pretty good game where they hit like a 50-plus yarder field goal at the end of the game to win. So impressive road win for them there. They beat, they blanked Houston. They were another team that shut out Houston. And then they beat Baylor, of course, last week pretty handedly. No losses on the season. So ESPN currently 75% chance for Iowa State to win this game. And, I kind of agree with them. Iowa State feels like one of the better teams in the Big 12, a team that you can definitely expect to see in Dallas at the end of the season if things keep going right for them. They obviously got Rocco Becht, the quarterback who took over last year as a freshman. He wasn't expected to. The whole gambling thing happened with their former quarterback. He took over, did a good job, but he's really getting a hold of that offense. They have a couple of really good running backs. They always have like two really good receivers that you got to pay attention to. They got Noel and Higgins, I think, is the other guy. There's a team that can beat you both ways offensively. They always have a really good defense at Iowa State, so this is going to be a really tough matchup. against the Iowa State Cyclones. I have this, like, if you were to rank the rest of the opponents, like, from hardest game to least hardest game, this is definitely, definitely, definitely the hardest game you have left on the schedule.
Yeah, it's definitely number one, especially going back-to-back away games.
Yeah.
And going to Iowa State in November. It sucks.
Yep.
And not you mentioned the quarterback and receivers. I wasn't even worried about them as much as they have 300-plus yard rushers already. That's stood out to me because usually you'll have a guy, you know, 300 or so yards, another guy, and then it falls way off. They just keep rotating running backs and pounding it up your face. So, it's going to be a very tough game, obviously, at Iowa State in November. I don't see us pulling this one out necessarily.
Yeah, I don't either. And, yeah, those three running backs, Jalen Jackson, 295 yards, Abu Sama, who I thought was going to be their, you know, best player this year. He's not even leading the team in rushing.
Yeah.
He's 242, and then, yeah, Carson Hansen, 211. So, yeah, big rushing threat. Two guys over 400 yards receiving. So
that's good, too. Yeah, they're balanced.
They're balanced, and so they're going to beat you in a lot of different ways. So that's Iowa State, and then that transitions over from Iowa State, coming back home for prime time and the Colorado Buffaloes.
Yeah, big home game. On the 9th, November 9th, this one's listed at 50-50 also, but I also didn't have to write things down for the Colorado game because we know who they are. They are
who's their
Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders. And that's it. Now, both these guys are really freaking awesome is the problem. This isn't a Fafita and T-Mac situation.
And Travis Hunter technically counts as two players because he plays on offense and defense.
He's the best corner in the country. He's the best, one of the best receivers in the freaking country. And that's all Shador wants to do to him. Now, they are also they score a ton of points. I mean, they're, I think, leading the Big 12 in conference play, in offense, or in points right now. So that'll be a huge test of can we – it'll be like a amped-up Arizona-type game where you have a super good quarterback and a super good wide receiver, but these guys are even better.
Yeah.
So that'll be great. The home crowd will be amazing, and I think we can pull that one out.
Yeah, I think that's – this is definitely one that I'm happy that we're playing here in Lubbock. But yeah, I think you gave the recipe for winning this game when you played Arizona. It's you know, you're going to try to defend Travis Hunter the exact same way. You're going to try to make the other guys beat you. Now, they do have some other talented receivers, Jimmy Horn, LaJonte Wester, both guys who put up a lot of yards, Jimmy Horn with over 300. So they have some other wide receivers that I think are a little more scary than what Arizona really had. It was really just T-Mac, and then that's pretty much it. So it's not just Travis Hunter. They do have some other weapons, but yeah, it's going to be, if you can go into this game 7-2, it's going to be bumping. Beat Baylor, TCU, and lose Iowa State and come into this game rolling, like, that's going to be a big game and a potential Big 12 championship contender type game right there.
Then you have another bye week.
And then after that, you head off to Stillwater to face off with Alan Bowman and the Oklahoma State Cowboys, who started the season with a lot of expectations. A lot of people had expected them to be Big 12 championship contenders. And, well, they started the season 3-0, but since then have gone 0-3 in conference play to have a 3-3 record. In the non-con, they did beat Arkansas SEC team in a wild game at home, so they were able to claim that victory. But since then, it has not gone well with losses now to Utah, Kent State, and then they just got blown out by West Virginia at home. So they lost two of those games at home, Utah and West Virginia, and then they went to Kansas State and lost there. So things not going great for Alan Bowman and Mike Gundy right now in Stillwater. This team is struggling. ESPN currently does predict Oklahoma State to win this game. They give them a 54.8% chance. You know, we're pretty, Yeah, same with Oklahoma State. Like how you said, Colorado, we're familiar with the guys, right? Alan Bowman, seventh year. Everybody knows who Alan Bowman is. He's not that great of a quarterback. He's kind of a game manager. He's not a guy that you're super scared of. And then it's Ollie Gordon, the running back. And, well, has not lived up to the hype that he was expected to this season. I think there's a lot of Oklahoma State fans that are upset with the offense right now and how the offense is running. And I think Ollie Gordon is kind of the main focal point of that. You know, he's not getting the yards that he had last year. He was a breakout player for them. Currently only has 384 yards on the season, only four touchdowns. To compare, Taj Brooks is at 679 and seven touchdowns. And Ollie Gordon was considered the best running back in the Big 12 conference heading into this season. So the offense is kind of sputtered. You know, Bowman still puts up decent passing numbers. He has 13 yards more passing than Barron does on the season, but he does have eight interceptions. So we know what we can expect from Bowman. He's going to give you chances to take the ball away. He's not a guy that you have to worry about really running the football. So definitely a game that I would have penciled in as a loss at the start of the season, but one that I'm starting to see we have better and better chance of maybe going into Stillwater and pulling out a road victory later in the season, especially if this continues to collapse on them. This might be a game that originally coming into the season didn't think you could win, and now possibility that you can go in and steal one on the road here.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Bowman throwing the interceptions. Ollie Gordon's not rolling like they thought it would be. So I love to see them struggling. They're also coming off a bye. So you're getting the double bye like you are with Baylor this week there. But those byes will help you. You got four games and then this two-game stretch to finish. And they could be two massive games. So, yeah, Oklahoma State's not as scary as we thought, maybe. So – I could see us going to Stillwater and getting a win.
Yeah, it's not the craziest thing to me anymore. I think, you know, coming into this, I would have had like Iowa State, Oklahoma State as the scariest games left on the schedule. I think to me now, like Colorado's jumped Oklahoma State. I think even West Virginia has maybe jumped Oklahoma State on teams that I'm kind of scared to play just because of how bad that they've looked here recently. And so. But yeah, that's your last road game of the year, and that transitions into your final home game, the final game of the season, West Virginia.
Yeah, you get West Virginia at home, Thanksgiving week game. This one surprisingly is listed to me as a 50-50. I thought we would have gotten a little more credit there. Maybe by the time you get 6 weeks down the line into November, it shifts a little more. But West Virginia is not as bad as everybody expected. Still don't see them as like that good though.
Yeah, they're interesting.
So like they beat Oklahoma State, sure, but we just talked they're not as big and bad as they were supposed to be. But similar opponents, Iowa State, Arizona, Cincy, and Baylor. So by the time we get here, we'll kind of know who's who and be able to stack your chips up against them. Garrett Green, he's looked okay, but not great. They were hoping for big steps from him. Even his rushing's not like it was kind of last year. And they have two good running backs getting 300 yards apiece right now. So they're a little more run heavy and then still having Garrett Green figured out. But that's going to be a big game to possibly, you should have chips in your hand of what you want to do the rest of the season. Like, that should be a win and possibly get into Big 12 championship.
Yeah, and this is a game that you're going to be glad to have at home, I think, like you said. Yeah, I don't really know what to expect from West Virginia. Like, this is a team that I really don't know much about right now. It's just kind of a bizarre season for them. Lost to Penn State, kind of like you expected. Lost a game to Pitt that they shouldn't have lost.
Yeah.
Their wins are against Kansas, who now is not good, and Oklahoma State, who's been struggling. So, Iowa State this coming week for them is going to be a big game to kind of tell kind of what team this is. But, yeah, the Jones will be rocking. It'll be the last game. You know, I think if things go the way that, you know, this has gone this season. This could be an opportunity for you to secure a ticket to Dallas. For the Big 12 championship if things go right. And so that's the six opponents that the Red Raiders are set to face. And so let's go ahead and get into it. What we've kind of talked about it a little bit through each opponent, but what are your actual expectations for the Red Raiders in the second half of the season?
I mean, you're looking at a 4-2, if 5-1 or a somehow miraculously 6-0 type stretch here.
Yeah.
I think 3-3 would be disappointing, to be honest.
I agree.
You know, I mean, you have tough games on the schedule, but you are proven you've been a much better team. And Joey's also proven like his teams get better as the season's gone on. And you have young guys this year that have drastically improved in this first month and a half of the season already. So I expect some more improvements and to really take care of some of these teams that are disappointing on their own seasons.
Yeah, I think it was one of the things we talked about coming into the season. The schedule just sets up really well. You know, you only have a handful of road games. You know, you only got three left, and two of them look a lot easier than they did heading into the season, right? TCU felt like a toss-up, but they don't look any good so far. Oklahoma State's been struggling, so that makes you feel, okay, maybe you can go and steal a couple more road wins. Can you take care of business at home against Baylor, Colorado, West Virginia? You know, those are, you know, Colorado's the game I think that will kind of decide the season here.
Yeah.
You know, I think
that's how I feel too. Big tilt game.
That's TCU too, I think, is if you can go in and beat TCU and you're 7-1 heading into Iowa State, you know, I feel good about that one. Go compete against Iowa State. But yeah, Colorado after that, if you're sitting there at what, that'd be 5-1 in conference play, like Colorado looks like they might be a team that's going to be competing there. That could be the game that decides whether you're going to be in the race or that might knock you out. And so that's a huge game. And then if you win that, then Oklahoma State becomes big. West Virginia becomes even bigger. But yeah, the schedule's just sets up to where I'm like, like you said, 3-3 here down the stretch would be kind of a disappointment, even though that would get you to 8 wins. Like we said, we haven't had 8 wins since 2008, and all you got to do is win 3 games here to get that. But it really feels like 4 is the number that I'm looking for here down the stretch to get that 9, go 9-3 and set yourself up. Got anything to add there?
Well, I'm thinking we win 5 of these. Yeah. I'm going to be the optimistic one and go out on a limb and go 5-1, and we finish 10-2.
All right. So Dustin's going major optimistic there. And with that, that puts us in the Big 12 championship game.
You're in a good seat, at least. I mean, I don't know with how many teams and all the schedule breakdowns, but that would put you in a great position. That would make you one loss in conference.
Yeah. And what's crazy is that's realistic. Like, I feel like that's pretty realistic here. Because I think you beat Baylor, and I think you beat TCU the way you're playing and the way they're playing right now.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think you're going to lose to Iowa State. To me, I feel like Colorado and Oklahoma State, those two games, I feel like you go 1-1 there. I don't know which one you're going to lose, but I feel like you're going to drop one there.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think I'm going 9-3 here. I think you win. I think you beat Baylor. I think you beat TCU. I think you get one of those Colorado Oklahoma State games, and I think you beat West Virginia to end the season.
Okay.
And so I got us at 9-3, and that, you know, that's still a 2-loss conference record. That you, who knows how things shake out, but it's a lot of teams with losses right now. You're at the top at 3-0. So this is a crazy Big 12 conference that is, you never know who's going to show up each week, you know? So yeah. I think that's awesome. If we make it to the Big 12 championship, we're going to have to make a Tailgate Talks appearance at that.
We might have to.
All right. So that's what we're going with. Dustin has the Red Raiders finishing off this season 10-2. I am going with the Red Raiders finishing off this season 9-3. I think we both had us 8-4 at the start of the season, correct?
I think so.
I think we're both kind of being trying to be optimistic, but trying to dial it back until we see it.
I had 9-3.
You had 9-3?
Yep.
All right, so we're both adding one more win to our record totals here. So confidence in the Red Raiders right now. It's nice. It's nice to be 5-1. It's nice to be winning some of these games. Wish that we could win some of them by a little bit more. These one possession games are getting stressful, but that'll do it for our Texas Tech conversation this week. Next week, we will be back to get ready for that second half of the season getting kicked off with the Baylor Bears coming to town. So we will discuss that as we always do, make our predictions and everything like that. But that'll do it for our Texas Tech football coverage for us this week. Before we get out of here, Dustin, a final shot for us this week.
You've been watching any playoff baseball? Because some of these series are awesome.
I haven't been watching, but I've been keeping up with them on Twitter. And, you know, that's kind of how I like to watch baseball now, is I just kind of keep up with what's going on through Twitter and the highlights and everything.
Dodgers Padres are on right now. I watched the game last night and tonight. It's pretty heated between these teams. And so the crowd's awesome. It's fun to watch. And like teams and fans.
Dodgers are up 5-0 right now.
I think, they need to win this to push it to a game 5. Yeah. So it's fun to watch the series, even though you don't have a team win. Like the teams and the fan bases are like super jacked up about it. So like I've been watching here and there on it. It's fun.
Yeah, I've been trying to keep up with it. Tigers went up 2-1 today. Mets knocked off the Phillies.
Phillies.
And the Yankees beat the Royals today to move to 2-1. So yeah, it's been fun. There's been a lot of really good moments. The Mets have been crazy. How they've been winning games all of a sudden in like the eighth inning, took care of business against the Phillies. But yeah, it's been fun. My final shot. Did you see the basketball block party that we're having?
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they're doing because they say they're laying a court down on Broadway.
Yeah, I don't.
Last time Tech basketball and Broadway were mixed together, they were burning Lime scooters and flipping cars.
They want to go back to the scene where that happened and put a court. I'm very curious what that's going to look like. I'm sad because I will actually be out of town that night. I'll be gone at a work conference, but I'm definitely excited to see the Twitter videos and everything. Yeah. All the content that gets made from that. Are you going to try to make it? Are you going to be here for it?
I'll be here. I don't know what I'm doing for work that night. Yeah. Just yet. Because I know it's on a Monday night coming up in like 2 weeks.
Also, don't know how it like. I feel like it's going to be a little crowded. Like I feel like it's going to be really hard.
I don't know. I just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't either. I might like let it happen. Like even if I was going to be in town, I might just like let it happen, see how it goes, see what it looks like, and then if they do it again next year, maybe go. But like that's just going to be a lot of people in a pretty confined space. And so I don't know how it's going to look, but it sounds like a cool idea. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, that will be my final shot for the week. And that will do it for us here at Tailgate Talks for this week. Make sure you guys are following us. Follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify. Give us those 5 stars. 5 stars for the Tailgate. And, of course, if you listen to us on Apple, you can always leave us a review there. Also, follow us on Twitter at Tailgate_Talks. Please give us a follow there. We also have Instagram, Facebook, and a YouTube channel that you can follow as well. Thanks for hanging out with us and talking about another Texas Tech dub as the Red Raiders sit at 5-1 heading into the bye week. We hope you have fun bye week tailgates. Enjoy a great slate of college football games this Saturday. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.